live as they want to be from California. Here's Sean and Jen.
We're starbucking it.
Oh, really? It's a verb now?
In live on the show, recordings. We're starbucking it live in the studio, live. I want to do live shows.
Okay.
With hula girls and balloon animals. Can we do that?
Well, you can get a balloon animal from the guy at the farmer's market, but the hula girls, I don't see how that's going to happen.
Welcome to Hyper Nonsense. We are the podcast that comes to you straight from the heart of California, San Luis Obispo. That's what we like to call it out here. Some folks call it other things. Like it was back in the old days before they shut the town down to discourage those rabble rousing kids with their cruise nights. You know about that, right?
Yeah, I think that's why. I think I've heard a little. I don't know.
Well, that's why we have our world famous Thursday farmers market here. Because
the reason. Okay.
Yeah, the kids would all get out in their Studebakers or whatever, drive up and down the street all night on a Thursday. And the city went, we can't have this kind of distraction.
So in our they tiny got people town. Walking up and down the street on a Thursday getting veggies and then staying around for the bars and the bands playing in them.
But back then, they'd be like, yeah, we call it Slow Town.
Yeah.
Because we're the cool kids.
Yeah, I guess.
In our yellow Ford Mustang on the cruise night. We're going to stop by the Foster's Freeze and get us a malt.
I bet that happened.
And it all comes full circle because I have a wonderful Starbucks beverage here. I'm enjoying an iced caramel mocha. Jen, what are you having?
It's a frappuccino. Let's see if I can get all this right. Usually you order for me because there are days where I'm sick enough where I just don't have all the words to order a Starbucks drink. So it's a frappuccino. It's a, what is it, mocha?
No. Come on, it's not
double
mocha.
Double chocolate frappuccino with soy because yes. I can't do that much milk. So I do soy instead. And I don't get the whipped cream because milk, don't want it. And I have them add a shot of cappuccino, and it is divine.
A shot of cappuccino. It's a shot of espresso.
Oh.
Cappuccino is a drink.
See, I'm not well today. I've been really sick for days, so this is what happens, and this is why I have Sean order the drinks for me.
Yeah, this is just one of those many things where I have to learn how to be that part of Jen's brain that doesn't process things.
Yeah. I do okay until I go through, like, I've been really sick for, like, 3 or 4 days. So, it just kind of, I have days where things aren't very coherent.
I have often said, between the two of us, we're almost one functional human being. Which is probably why, if you really think about it, we shouldn't be married to each other. I mean, in one regard, we probably should.
Well, we fit. Don't they say you're supposed to find the person that like fills in your missing pieces, right?
Normals. I think normals wouldn't handle either one of us.
Oh God, because
they would all be like, well, when I was in my younger days and imagining my later life, my significant other would have things like a full time job and.
Yeah, well,
benefits
with the economy,
and
though,
be able
I mean,
to raise the kids and
we don't, there's no kids, but
have the fence with the pickets
no,
and all
okay.
that. And
no.
And I don't think either one of us was ever going to, if someone wanted that in their life,
yeah, that's probably, not going to happen. Mm-hmm.
But not only that, I mean, after a while, like you can't really, you know, you can't really go through life and really. I don't know, deal with someone, another person who has, for lack of a better description, a certain number of what you might call shortcomings unless you have a certain number yourself. And I mean,
well,
everybody
in our
does.
Case, a lot
but
of this is disability related.
Well, that's what
know?
I mean.
I mean, like, okay, so you're legally blind, and you disclosed that early boo, on in our relationship.
Boo
and,
me.
And no, I mean,
genetics
honestly,
fail.
Though, honestly, my mother is legally blind. My grandmother was legally blind. I've been acting as someone else's eye since I was a small child. To me, I was like, oh, that's all. No big deal.
Yeah, but you should have
it
been.
It didn't seem strange to me at all.
That should have been a huge red flag for you. You should have went, I know what to expect now. I don't want to deal with that for the rest of my life.
Well, I would.
Next.
I was already kind of dealing with that, you know, and it's not strange
yeah, but it's
to me.
Different
like, I
when
think...
you weren't living with your mom when you met me.
No, I wasn't. But
so
I mean,
you
know,
really deep. I mean, you were but
not
you
day
weren't.
To day as much, you know. But I don't know. You grew up that way. It just becomes normal.
I mean, God
I
knows if I had lived with someone with so many chronic illnesses,
yeah,
I would have been like, I don't know about this. I mean, we can go out a few times, and
yeah,
and you know, you
well,
can.
Well, see, that's the thing,
but
though.
I mean,
like,
I can't be tied down to an invalid like this. I got mm-hmm. huge ambitions in life.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think perhaps if you had met someone instead
I'm
of me,
I'm a mover and a shaker.
If you had met someone instead of me who had no idea what legally blind even meant, that might have
oh, yeah.
been
well,
a difficult transition for someone, you know,
yeah.
to kind of understand and all this. And with me, I kind of go through the day going, okay, he can't see that, so then I'll describe it instead. You know, I just supplement, I suppose. And it's I've always done this. It's natural for me. I don't consider it to be, you know, a disability to be upset about or anything.
Yeah.
It's just normal. But me, on the other hand, I'm sick all the time. I mean, a lot of people you think, you know, I mean, if you've been listening
you're
to the
adorable.
Show for a while, you get it. Well, I'm glad I've got something going for me then. But, you know, a lot of people when they first meet me and they don't understand how severe my allergies are and my other weirdness.
Well,
with,
then
you
what
know, all these other
when,
chronic illnesses.
When that happens and if people just question Jen too much about her physical ailments, what I do is I lightly spray them with pepper spray and then I punch them in the stomach and I go, see, this is what it's like. Now you understand. Now you yeah. can have empathy.
Yeah, that's how that goes. But I think most people, when you say...
And then I go to jail for a day.
Right. Well, I don't know. I think it depends on how strong that assault charge would be. But and if they count pepper spray as a chemical weapon or not. But,
do they have Starbucks book in prison?
I doubt it. You know, I kind of doubt that. Yeah. But I think most of the time when you hear someone say, I'm sick today,
everyone says... They probably just have Seattle's best coffee.
Yeah. Everyone says, you know, oh, Caribou. Feel better soon, and assumes you're going to be better the next day, like if you had a cold, or a couple days later if you had a flu. And with me, that's not it at all. And I really think that for most people, it would be really hard to live with someone who is sick all the damn time.
Yeah, I know. You know? Tell me about it.
It's overwhelming. I think I would overwhelm most people.
Really, this whole conversation is just a lead-in because I hadn't really announced this yet, but one of those times when you were fast asleep in Las Vegas, I went and got one of those quickie divorces. So I figure I may as well... I mean, we're
this explains
not...
why I'm suddenly on Medicaid. I get it now.
That's right. We're not actually legally married anymore. Yay. So.
And look how much changed, you know?
I know, so quickly. Yeah, in case you want to know how much we're really killing it over here money-wise, we found out last month that we are officially, finally, and some of this has to do with the stuff that came through with the Affordable Care Act legislation, but we're finally poor enough that Jen can actually qualify for Medi-Cal, which is the state version of Medicaid. And usually,
yeah.
you can't get that. Now, it's been changed because of the Affordable Care Act,
right,
but I know.
Expanded it. Well, California, where we are, expanded it.
Right.
Not everybody did. Not all the states did, but California did.
I know that in years past, I've tried to get different kinds of government assistance. Things like, well, I mean, yeah, you have the Medi-Cal now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't because I am officially disabled, so I actually have Medicare.
Right, you
again,
have part
we
A
sound
and part
so
B
fucking old on this show. It's pathetic. But,
well, we just explained we're disabled. That,
well,
you
know,
I mean, anyway, but you had Part A for a long time, and you just got
and
Part
I finally
B
got
recently.
Part B, and when that happened, because we were getting our health insurance through Covered California, which is the state exchange. And when I got the Part B, which actually you can use. If you have just Medicare Part A, it's only good if you actually are hospitalized. So
Part B is like actual insurance.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's like you can actually go to a doctor and use it.
Right. So, it doesn't cover a prescription. That's another part. But at least, you know, you can see a doctor now. Yeah.
So we got that, or I got that, and I called Covered California, and I said, listen, I got this now. And they said, well, good news for you. You can't have a subsidy anymore for your health insurance.
Because we did have that, because we're poor.
So we're gonna have to cancel you out, but your wife, according to our profile here, your wife actually now qualifies for Medi-Cal. And I went, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, so I'm on Medi-Cal.
Yep. As of this month, and so.
And you also get on SenCal if you're in the Central Coast county. It's a county thing, I think.
Well, the way these things work is they have kind of the overriding state program, and then they break it down into these smaller, I don't know, companies or whatever that manage through different counties, and apparently SenCal covers our county as well as Santa Barbara County. So that's who is taking over for you.
Right. So I got a card from them and I went, what the heck is this? You know, and I went looking through the paperwork and they had a page of frequently asked questions. And the first one was, what is SenCal?
Right.
So that's what it is. So I have that.
And, so yeah, we're really just nailing it down in life over here.
And I still qualify for Family Pact, which is something, I don't know if it's California only or not, but it's basically for poor people, so they can access healthcare related to reproductive care. So birth control, things like that.
And so
still qualify for that.
Yeah.
Shit.
So speaking of being kind of poor, you know, I ride the bus all the time. That's more, it just has to do with the fact that I can't drive than anything else. I mean, I wonder sometimes what would be different in my life if I could drive. I mean, if I had, you know, a normal vision, or it could be corrected to that level where at least I could drive. I mean, I'll never know. I like to think that maybe I might have been more successful at things, but I don't know. If everything else in my life were the same, I'd probably just be the same person I am, except I'd have, along the line, I would have had car payments, car insurance payments.
Yeah, probably so, that. But I think the other thing that might have changed, because more debt, it would have been more debt, yeah.
At times.
But I know, like, I didn't get my driver's license until I was, like, 24 or something like that because of, it's a long story, driving phobia, lack of access to a vehicle, you know, all these kinds
of things. Another reason you're a freak of nature.
Yeah, and no. That's not one of the reasons, but
why do you hate America? The first thing you do when you turn 16 is you get a car and driver's license and you drive it everywhere.
There's a whole long story I'll maybe tell someday about that. But in any case, I didn't get it till I was 24. So I went, you know, all through that time without having a car and having to like walk places or arrange rides or public transportation or whatever. And once you're able to drive, it gets a lot easier. Like things just like getting back and forth to work is a hell of a lot easier, you know?
Well, see, I think
getting groceries is a lot easier.
This is what I think for me. And when I look back on my life, you know, the one thing that I wish would have happened is somewhere right after I got done with high school, I just wish somebody, because I didn't have the, I don't know, I just didn't have the, I didn't have the ability to just go, like, I had, you know, when I got done with high school, I went to community college for 2 semesters. My ultimate plan was that I was eventually, and I've said this before, that I was going to transfer. I was going to do the prereqs and transfer to Columbia College in downtown Chicago. And what I really needed was I needed to get out of my parents' house, like, completely, even if all that meant was just moving to the town where the community college was. But instead I lived at home for many years after that, and I never made it to Columbia.
You know, it's weird. But thinking back, I was considering Columbia.
The thing
we
is...
We might have been there at the same time if that had panned out.
It's actually entirely possible that's true. And I've often wondered... Well, we've talked before about this, these weird coincidences that... Because, I mean, you and I, like, we grew up about by car roughly 40 minutes apart from each other.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
we really would have never... If it weren't for... We can just to say, if it weren't for, you know, we met online, if it mm-hmm. weren't for that whole thing, the likelihood is we may have never met. And it's weird, though, looking back, because we've uncovered these coincidences where, okay, like, if I had gone to Columbia, if you'd gone to Columbia, that one's kind of a stretch because neither one of us ever went. But
well, no, but I was going to Northern Illinois University and I was majoring in art and I kind of wanted to go to Columbia and see. I heard their art program was better, you know? And I was kind of like, well, maybe I'll do that because I had a while where I thought, yes, I'll go be a famous painter and that will be my career, you know?
Yeah, well.
And even I knew that wasn't really realistic. So I didn't end up going and funding and things were difficult. And of course, by then I was in a relationship with someone who was going to NIU and it got complicated. But I'd considered it. Like I was really thinking about going there and that would have been about my maybe second year of school, you know? So who knows?
Well, as I'm pretty sure I explained on another show, in my case, a friend of mine who I'd gone to high school with just kind of randomly showed up one day at my house and said, hey, I'm going to go to this broadcasting school, and I know you're into that. Do you want to go too? And I looked at that, and I went, well, this might, for me, be easier than doing the whole college thing. And really, all I cared about was I wanted to try to get into radio or some similar thing. And that is effectively what happened. I'm not good at careers. So after my one and only paying radio job ended, I never followed through with it. And I had other things I wanted to do anyway. So fine. But we've looked back and seen these kind of odd coincidences where one of the things was, I think we figured out that there was probably a summer where you worked at Santa's Village mm-hmm. in Dundee, Illinois.
Yeah, I had two summers I did there.
And we're pretty sure that one of those summers, my sister also worked there.
Yeah.
Because she did work there during the summers.
We were
the
in
summers.
Different departments. I think you said she worked the shops.
Yeah, she
right?
worked in the shops in the front of the park.
And I worked for one summer. I worked on the rides, which is why I don't go on amusement park rides anymore. And the second one, I was doing food service.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you ever came to pick up your sister, we could have run into each other. No. I probably ran into her. You know?
When she worked there, I think she worked there like the last two summers before she graduated. And I'm thinking that the first summer she probably rode over there with a friend who had a license. And the second year she herself had a license. So... And it was far enough away from where you guys lived,
yeah.
That my dad would have, you know, my dad was a really nice guy and he was really good about driving us places, but he would have said, there's no way, if you want to work at Santa's Village, there's no way I can get you there and back. It's too far.
Right. Now, did she work in the shops both times?
I'm sure
both
she
summers?
Did, yeah.
Okay. See, I never did
she
that.
She would have never been, you know, I love my sister. Mm-hmm. She's probably never going to hear this, but she would not have been the kind of person that would have stuck around if her job description included things like food service or a whole lot
the food
of
service is
cleaning
really easy,
or maintenance. That just would not have, she wouldn't have handled that. So
the food service was real easy, but it was warm, you know, because it's food service and it was summer. The running the rides was a lot of physical labor. I mean, there were times where you were like literally pushing the ride to get it to move and, you know, stuff like that, setting things up in the morning and all that. And you were out in the sun the whole time. So it was a lot more physical. But like, I could never have worked in the shops because I can't run a cash register because numbers evade me, you know?
Yeah. And then the only other thing I can really think of is, I mean, I spent, because speaking of that radio station that I worked at, which I also interned at, and I spent from... It was like November of 2005, I think that sounds about right, through June of 2006 was the time that I went to that radio station, and I was going there at times 3 or 4 days out of the week, and that was in, you know, that was in the area that you were from.
Right.
But mm-hmm. by then, you were already in college, so you probably weren't there very often.
Yeah, 2005, 2006, I was still in college. It took me freaking 7 years to get through, because art ed should be a double major, man, really. You do all the coursework, you do all the teaching work, and then you do all the artwork. You have all these different classes. So, yeah, 2004 to 2005, I was probably...
It was 05 into 06.
05 into 06, yeah, I was mostly in DeKalb.
So the likelihood...
I don't think I went home, like, at all.
Yeah, the likelihood that we would have ever run into each other was actually pretty low.
There's actually other things, though, because, you know, you used to go to Spring Hill Mall sometimes?
Oh, yeah, I was at... When I was at the radio station, I was there almost every day because... Getting back to buses, I was having to take the bus up there usually, and there was always a buffer between when I would get done at the station and when I would have to catch the bus. So I would go over to the mall, because that was actually where I had to catch the bus. And so I was there probably, again, you know, 3 or 4 days every week from the time I started interning until the time that the station closed.
Right. And during that time, if I'd gone home, I probably ended up at the mall because my mom always wanted to go. You know?
Yeah.
So it would have been that. Did you go to Spring Hill fairly often before?
No, it was only... It was far enough away from where I grew up that we would go there, but it was maybe once every few months.
Yeah.
Although I do have a fun story for you, speaking of my sister, who I'm, mm-hmm. I really hope doesn't listen to this show.
Well, you haven't said anything bad about her.
Well, no. And at this point, does it even matter? But my sister got her... my sister's birthday is in October. And she was so car crazy, so excited about getting her license. And I think because of the fact that her birthday was in the fall, they let her take driver's ed in the winter / spring semester of her sophomore year of high school.
That's about right. So you usually do it when you're 15, and yeah. It's usually sophomore year of high school in Illinois. That's how they did it at the time. So yeah.
And by the way, my dad, my parents were considering putting me in driver's ed just to get the book side of it.
Yeah, you could do that.
And my dad went in and to register me, and he said, "Okay, well, Sean can only do obviously the Sean can't ever get behind a wheel." I mean, everybody knew why.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't a secret.
No.
And they wanted to charge me for, because the school, you had to pay a little extra to enroll a kid in driver's ed.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to pay. They wanted my dad to pay for me, and my dad said no, so I never took it. But
yeah, I think there was like a state fee going on with that, with the schools, or something. You know,
but
it wasn't just the school making money off it. I think.
Yeah.
I suspect it had something to do with that. So maybe they might not have had an option other than to charge you.
So my sister, being again really car crazy and excited about being able to drive, as a lot of 15-year-olds are, I suspect. She got the driver's ed end of sophomore year and got her learner's permit, and my dad took her out driving and taught her how to drive. And, you know, by midsummer, you know, that summer between her sophomore and junior year, a couple of things were happening. Both my parents were working, and my sister, they had enough, I guess, belief in our ability. And by then, you know, my sister was 15. I was 13, I guess. 14. 13. No. If she was turning 16, I would have been 14. So they had enough, you know, belief in us that they could leave us at home on certain days.
Well, that sounds reasonable,
and,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, we were old enough by then. And we weren't, you know, we didn't get into things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, one day, my sister says, well, you know, my dad drove a conversion van, and or actually, by then it might have been a minivan, and my sister, just out of the blue one day, we rounded up like some of our friends, one of her friends, one of my friends, and my sister said, okay, we're going to drive to the mall. And I'm sitting here going, now I'm again, 14, I don't know anything, I'm dumb. I know my sister doesn't
14,
have...
yes, most 14-year-olds are dumb in many aspects. It's developmental.
I know for sure my sister doesn't have her driver's license. This has not been made official yet. And she goes, all right, we're gonna drive to the mall. Because she couldn't wait to drive. She just had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were gone, and we did it. And we drove, you know, we left probably in the late morning, and we drove out to Spring Hill Mall, so in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And now granted, at this point, well, you're 3 years older than me.
Yeah, so I'd have been, if you were 14, I'd have been 17.
Right. You would have been possibly in your summer before your
this is before, during the summer this took place.
Yeah.
The summer.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So you would have been probably in your summer before your senior year of high school.
I'm trying to remember what I was doing then.
But anyway, I just had to bring up that story because I remember this now, you know, us all jumping in my dad's Aerostar and my sister driving us to this mall when she did not yet have a license. And fortunately for all of us, nothing bad happened. There were no accidents, no tickets. You know, she was obviously a good driver by then, and nobody questioned it. And to the best of my knowledge, if my parents ever found out, it was years later, and there was no point in making a big deal out of it, because why?
Mm-hmm.
But
I think that summer I would have been working at Santa's Village doing food service.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
That's what I was doing. I was actually serving alcohol. I was 17. I looked like I was 12. Nobody cared.
It's possible that was one of the summers that my sister worked over there and she just had a day off or something. I don't really know.
Yeah, they didn't. Most, I know, not everybody worked every day, you know.
I know that there was a couple of summers where this was so awesome as me, you know, it's like a 14 or, you know, running between the age of like 13 and 15 years old, where I would just be home all day by myself. And I just remember those, you know, waking up those days, and like everybody was gone and I was home by myself. And I was like, oh man, this is so amazing. What am I going to do? I'd go back in my room and shut the door and turn on the stereo.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Well, that's what you like to do. So,
but yeah,
that is
what I did. So, and, you know, some days I would get up and I'd walk over to my idiot friend Nick's house, and usually he would be home by himself, or sometimes his brother would be home. So what we would do is we'd go in his room, shut the door, turn on the stereo. It's one of those things where, first of all, yeah, I didn't really get out to where you were from mm-hmm. that often. So I think the likelihood that we would have just run into each other, and then there would have been a whole thing of, imagine if, say, during that period of time when I was working at the radio station,
mm-hmm.
if, well, first off, and, fuck. First off, if we would have met,
mm-hmm.
just, I don't know what the circumstance would be. But I mean, you were, as you've already stated, in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, so was I.
And neither one was working.
And I don't mean unfortunately. Because if we had met, I just mean unfortunately because it wasn't a good relationship.
Well,
mine wasn't either.
Mine was not either. So that would have matched.
But
you know?
I think if the forces of nature had brought us together, and we had somehow, just through pure coincidence over and over, we kept running into each other enough times and somehow this sparked a conversation or this or that, I would imagine that it would have never gone anywhere because we would both be approaching this from the perspective of, we're already in relationships, so we're spoken for, right. And that's, well, that. So
yeah, and if we were able to communicate like through the internet to each other at that point, mm-hmm. It wouldn't, like, even just as a friendship, it wouldn't have worked, because I was in a relationship with a guy that was extraordinarily controlling and monitored yeah. everything I did and systematically cut me off from all of my family and friends. So, I mean, it wouldn't yeah, have worked then.
It would not have worked on that end. So, I yeah. guess, I mean, I'm not a fatalist per se, but I guess it was just...
Yeah. But it's interesting that your sister worked at Santa's Village at the same time I did, because if you would have come in then, I mean, we would have possibly run into yeah. each other. It wasn't that big of an amusement park, no. you know, and it closed at the same time, so there was often a bunch of workers waiting for rides at the end yeah. of the day, so I mean, yeah. we could have run into each other then, but I would have been 17 and you would have been 14, you know.
Yeah, that would have been weird.
Maybe
that would have made it, would have been it wouldn't have been weird straight off, but a year later, it would have been weird. And I don't really think, I mean...
Well, I mean, I dated guys that were younger than me anyway by a couple of years, because I looked like I was 12, and yeah. my birthday is at, like, the very end of the school year. Yeah. So I was dating guys that were the year behind me in school, because there was only about 6 months difference in age, you know?
Which actually reminds me of something, and that is that even though my girlfriend at the time, she and I were the same age, she had a weird thing... I can't remember what it was, but she started school later, so there was actually a year when I was out of high school and she wasn't. But we were the same age, so it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't weird in that way. Anyway, where I was trying to go before we went off on that tangent was, you know, because of all the reasons we've already discussed, I ride the bus a lot.
And we got back to that now, finally.
And
yeah,
I had a couple experiences this week that I thought were worth commenting on. The first one being on Tuesday, when I was actually on a county bus, and a woman got on the bus with 7 children in tow, ranging in age from, I would say, about 2 to maybe 12, 13 at the most. And that in and of itself is fine. And I know that some of the kids were siblings, but I don't know if they were all siblings. I do know, or could certainly tell from the way that they acted with each other, that they were definitely comfortable with each other. So,
well, maybe some of them were cousins yeah, or something. You know?
Right. If they weren't related... You know, if they weren't all siblings, they were probably related beyond that, or at the very least, they were used to being together. And apparently riding the bus in this fashion, because they were all super, super relaxed, super calm, fine, because the bus was kind of full, and the woman told all the kids to sit in the front, and she had to go sit in the back, and she was telling one of the girls... You know, sit with your brother, the younger brother, and she had the oldest one holding one of the really younger ones. Like I said, there was a couple of them that were probably no more than 2. And that was, you know, that was all fine, and there wasn't really any problems. She had some issues with her money. She put a bunch of coins in, because kids, during the summer, and depending on the ages, but during the summer, kids ride the buses free, so fine. But she had to pay for herself, and there was some issue.
And possibly the 12-year-old, depending.
No, I think it's still okay.
All
yeah, right. I think the kids ride free in the summer thing is good, probably up until you're at least 16.
Oh, okay, yeah,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So she went in and dropped a bunch of coins into the coin thing, and it rejected some of them, and she handed those to the driver, and he looked at them, and he said, "Hey, these aren't American coins. I'm not sure what they are, but they're not American coins." And she came up and topped it off with actual coins, and it was fine. And there was a point where, you know, and this is a thing that happens out here, where a lot of the buses during the summer, they really crank the AC. So if you're riding for more than, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, you actually start to feel cold. And these kids were, you know, and they had, because they had the two really young kids with them, they had all this gear. There was like a stroller, maybe two, and, you know, a bag and all this. And at one point, you know, these kids are all sitting up in the front of the bus, and it's cold. And we've been riding the bus for probably 20, 25 minutes at this point. And these kids all start unpacking blankets and stuff. And they're all getting covered up in blankets.
Well, at least they knew what to do. They sound pretty self-sufficient. You know, I'm cold. I'll get a blanket out of the bag. Yeah, that's pretty good.
It was, you know, it was fine. But I just kept, like, flashing on, you know, stories in the news about refugee kids on buses. And I'm like, what's going on over here?
No, this is starting to get, I don't. Well,
I know it wasn't anything like that. But I just started. It just started to feel very
surreal.
Like, you know, I don't know for sure what's going on here. I mean, I know it's okay, but it just started to feel a little weird. You know, all these kids, they're covered in blankets and we're on a bus and they're all together. And it was just, it just got a little, like you said, surreal. So that happened. And then yesterday, speaking of a group of kids on a bus, so this is completely different. This is where I get on my my old guy soapbox and tell these damn kids to get off my lawn, or perhaps more appropriately, off my bus. But in the summer, I don't know where they come from, but there's a group that I have to assume is from some kind of school-esque program. I don't think it's an actual school, like a public school thing, so it's some kind of summer thing.
Maybe, so like maybe Boys and Girls Club, or there's another youth services program, yeah. You know, which sounds like criminal, but no,
it could be possibly something that they do through the YMCA, and I'm just guessing on this because of where these kids always get off the bus. But I tend to encounter them a lot in the summer, where there's this group, and there's usually two adults, and they've got a group of kids. I would say, I'm not really good at guessing on this, but I'm going to say they're all certainly under 10 years old. They're probably somewhere between like 7 and 10, somewhere in there. And the bus, you know, they get on the bus somewhere, and they get off not too far from where I usually get on. And this time I actually heard one of the adults. She was doing a head count, and she was trying to get, I think, up to 18. So they've got 18 kids plus two adults. That's 20 people on a bus.
Wow.
On a bus with maximum seating capacity of maybe 30, provided there are no wheelchairs on.
Right, because that'll take out a seat or something. But
and I get on the bus.
That's a lot of people to get on a bus.
I get on the bus. And I, you know, I drop my money in, and I turn around, and I see there's nowhere for me to sit, and I'm fine with that. You know, I can stand up on a bus. I have no problem. And that's what I did. And a couple stops after mine, a woman and a couple of elderly people get on. And there's like one seat open, and one of the elderly folks gets and sits down there. And then this other woman gets on, and she's got one of these kind of wheeled walker / cart things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this going, there just is not room for another person in something that by its very nature has to sit in the middle of the bus.
Yeah, and, like it, I don't know that you're allowed to put things in the
aisle.
You are.
They prefer not to, but on this particular kind of bus, there's no getting around it.
Oh, and okay. All right.
A couple of people kind of jostled around so a seat opened for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing in the very front of the bus, essentially behind the driver's seat, but not right behind the driver's seat, because there's a big,
yeah, you can't
there.
Stand behind the driver, but you can stand sort of near there
next to but right behind, for lack of a better mm-hmm. descriptor. And I'm standing there, and she gets on with this wheelie thing. And I'm trying to move so she can get past me, and she can't do it. So I just walk to the back of the bus, you know, I'm not in the far back of the bus. I can't because it's jam-packed full of kids.
Full of children, right.
And these two adults. Uh-huh. So I go kind of midway back far enough that she could get around me, and I just stand there. And again, I'm fine. I have the capacity to do this. But I start thinking about this whole thing of this group that I see a lot during the summer, where they've got this big group of kids, and I had this moment where I went, because this particular bus route does go by a lot of senior housing, and I feel like in a way they're kind of taking advantage of the public bus system a little bit, and I don't know, maybe when they do this, they call ahead, they ask them if it's going to be okay, and they always tell them yes, maybe they don't, but I just had, again, this kind of old, you know, offer my bus, Sonny.
Well, I can tell you. Go ahead.
Well, no, just where I kind of feel like, in a way, they're taking advantage of a public resource. And I feel like if this is a private organization, whatever that might be, a church or a school or whatever, or even if it is the YMCA, which is not really private, but it's not a public school, they should have the capacity, if they need to move 18 kids around, if they don't have a van or two to do that, they can certainly rent them. I just feel like there's other ways to take kids out on an outing. And one thing I did think of is maybe as part of whatever this organization, this group does during the summer, maybe it's a pseudo kind of training thing, like, well, one thing we can do with the kids over the summer is we can kind of show them how the bus works, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Were the kids special education, like, obviously?
Not so far as I could tell.
Okay, because there is a group out here that takes kids that are, well, they're adults, but they're young, like, mentally they're somewhere around 5 or 6, and takes a group of them on the buses specifically for, like, life skills training to get them used to, okay, you go on in the front, you paid the money here, you go sit down, you know, that kind of thing. There is a group that does that, but it sounds like this is not the group you're talking about at all.
Yeah, this was not. This was definitely not that. I mean, the one thing I can tell you for sure is these were kids. And I got the impression from, you know, hearing them talk to each other and the way they were acting and socializing and stuff, that I don't think
they were on any kind of a... Yeah, it sounds like just a summer group. Yeah. It doesn't sound like this is like a life skills, you know, kind of thing that we're doing for people with intellectual disabilities. You know, that's not... Yeah. That group does it, but they only have like maybe 10 kids, you know, or adults, 10 people that they're with, you know?
And getting back to my whole situation, when I was in high school, junior high and high school, I did work with what they called a mobility instructor. And one of the things I did with her was we did actually take buses places, so that it was, again, a way, because working under the assumption that, hey, I'm legally blind, I can't drive, I'm going to need to get certain skills as far as moving around in the world, because,
right,
you know,
yeah.
I could see that, but I have difficulty believing that in an area. I mean, I grew up in the Chicago area, and I was like one of maybe, you know, probably less than 10 kids who worked with this mobility instructor. Forget about my school district, like my entire county.
Like the
county.
Whole county, so yeah, there wasn't a lot.
Mm-hmm. It seems unlikely to me, unless there's more, you know, unless there really is something to all of the, you know, conspiracies that people want to apply to the fact that we have a nuclear power plant in our backyard. It seems unlikely to me that somehow, this town of 50,000 people has a rash of legally blind kids need this kind of training.
Yeah, I don't think that was it at all.
The odds don't support that. So,
well, I can tell you from experience, I've been the teacher trucking kids on field trips, okay?
Yeah.
And I've done it in a public school capacity, and I've done it with daycares and after-school programs, okay? One daycare I worked for was a private daycare. We had a large van And the other woman would drive because she was a lot better at it than me. And I was able to keep everybody in line while she was driving. And we would pack up the kids, and they were between the ages of like 3 and maybe 10. And we'd go to Chicago, and we were in Schaumburg, and we went to Chicago. So we were like not at all near Chicago in like a really like well-to-do area. And we'd drive these kids to Chicago and take them to the museums and stuff like that. Okay. And then we'd get them all back in the van and go back. We had a private van
back
for that.
In the van, kids.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you go to your field trip, you go back, you know, your parents pick them up and there you go. So we did that with a van that the daycare owned. Okay. When I did this with Boys and Girls Club.
Was it the Sweet Pickles bus?
No. Oh, no. I don't remember it had a name or anything. Oh, before that, no, actually, after that, I worked for a private daycare in DeKalb, and it had essentially what many would refer to as a short bus, like a school bus, a little one,
right.
You know? And it was picking up preschoolers from different places and bringing them in. And so when we needed to do field trips, because we were allowed to do like one field trip a month or two a month, you know? So there was a time when, you know, in Illinois and DeKalb, we had a whole lot of snow. I mean, we had a whole lot of snow anyway, but we had an exceptional amount of snow. And we packed up all of the preschoolers, me and this other teacher, and bundled them up and brought them to a park where they could, like, slide down this tiny little hill on sleds and go. You know, that was our field
trip.
Fun times. And, you know, so we did that. And we'd, like, take them to grocery stores, you know, and do little tours of things and talk about healthy foods and stuff. And we'd go all kinds of places. And we had the short bus would take us there and pick us up. And the guy that drove it would usually come and participate and be an additional adult helping along as he was, you know, when he was there.
Yeah.
So we had our own transportation for these things. When I was with Boys and Girls Club, all of this is in Illinois. They had, I think I did go on at least one field trip with them to a museum, but they also had like almost every day they were taking kids to the public pools, right? And I didn't go on that because, I mean, you know, come on. I have no melanin. I burn real fast. It just wasn't a good plan for me. But I could go to the museums. And again, we were using public school buses because we had access to them in the summer. There wasn't really much of a summer school program going on. So we had the school to ourselves. The buses were accessible. And we were in the public schools. We didn't have, I mean, where I was in a public school. It wasn't like a private Boys and Girls Club building or anything. So we had access to that. So we got on, you know, we had the school bus, you put in the kids, you put in the right number of adults, off you go to the public pool, which wasn't far away, reverse the process, bring them back, and you're good. We never went and got on like the public busing system.
Yeah.
Ever.
And you know, I get that everybody's trying to save money and this and that and the other thing. I don't know. I had one of those old people moments where I went, this just doesn't seem right to me. And if it was one of the, say, bus routes that just goes up to the college or other parts of town, that would be fine. But this is a particular route that by its nature is going, that gets a lot of, you know, older people, senior citizens on it because it goes through an area that has a lot of senior housing. So anyway, so you're telling me that your bus experience wasn't like this?
No, we didn't do that.
No, I mean like this.
Here comes the Sweet Pickles bus.
Smart moms know how kids' minds grow upon.
You didn't sing songs about your sweet pickles?
No, we never sang songs about sweet pickles ever.
You didn't go out, you didn't take kids on the Sweet Pickles bus?
No.
They'll make learning basic skills like numbers and letters seem like child's play to your 2 to 6 year old.
Fun.
So love to learn.
Honest. I think
it's excellent. Nice. Oh, what a cute voice. What did she say? I think it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Sweet Pickles bus filled with dozens of learning activities free. We'll also send your first
this
activity pack.
This is one of those ads.
$3.49 plus delivery.
Oh, $3.49. My goodness.
Plus delivery.
Packs about every 4 weeks at the same low price. There's never any obligation to
and
buy.
There's the Sweet Pickles bus.
We'll send the Sweet Pickles bus to your door.
There it goes. It's driving away.
Oh, that's adorable. No, we never did that. No. Mm-mm.
See, that would have been even, that would have been the one thing you could hang on your career resume of adorableness.
I guess. I think the closest thing we had to a sing-along on the bus was once with the daycare in DeKalb. We were on the bus on coming back from a field trip, and everybody was tired, and we hit traffic. So we were in the bus a little bit longer than the preschoolers could handle. So we started singing some of the songs that we taught them to entertain them for a few more minutes, and they sang too. And the other and then, time was with Boys and Girls Club when the bus driver was playing just whatever was on the radio, and the kids knew the song, so they just started singing it.
Hot in Here by Nelly.
It might have been, honestly, around then. It could have been. No. I mean, these kids were playing Grand Theft Auto, too, so, nice. You know, yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 2?
Mm-mm. No, it would have been old enough. 3. It would have been old enough it was the first one.
I think, we don't need to go into this discussion. I was trying to make a joke that didn't work.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, and then after you had your fun little sing-along, did some kid go, "It's excellent!" at the end?
No.
That might be
No.
It's excellent. I wonder if he just learned that from reading that Sweet Pickles book.
Maybe he did. That's kind of a big word for such a little kid.
I wonder. You know, I think about all the stuff that, okay, the Sweet Pickles thing, if I'm understanding it right, and it was, by the time they started running those ads on TV, I was too old for all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care about it, but I remember it, and I think it was one of these sort of book club things where, mm-hmm. you know, they would send. Do you know about it?
Yeah.
You remember it?
Yeah.
Okay. The way you were talking earlier, I thought you didn't understand what it was.
No, so. I understood what it was, but we never used it with daycare or anything like that. It would have been the wrong time period entirely. I don't know if it was still around when I was working daycare.
There is that.
But yeah, it was one of those book club things. There was another one that had Dr. Seuss books and books that are written under that title where they're not necessarily Seuss, but they look like it. You know the ones I mean. And those are
Seuss
still available
knockoffs?
Today. No, they're like with the same company. The artwork is similar. Some of them are written by a few other people, but most of them are Dr. Seuss.
Can I?
And that was a book club you could do just like that, too.
Can I mention this weird memory that I have of kids' books?
Oh, go right ahead. Well, I think it'll be entertaining.
Okay, when I was in like fourth or fifth grade, there was the school district that I went to, because I lived in this really small town, you know, and the tax base was all residential, so the school district didn't have a lot of money. And in a lot of ways, it was a new and kind of growing school district, and they had to do all these weird realignments with the different grade classes and stuff. And when I was in fourth and fifth grade, I think we were sharing the building with kindergartners. It was really weird. On one end, they had the really young kids, like the kindergartners, and then on the other end of the building and upstairs was the fourth and fifth graders. So there was this weird grouping of books in the library where it went from, you know, because when you're in
picture
fifth grade,
books to chapter books, right?
Yeah. And there was this book that me and my dumb friend Ronnie used to always see, and we would kind of laugh at it because the title of the book, I'm not kidding you, the title of the book was, it was actually, if you were going to say it properly, the title of the book was Pepe Goes North.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. You know about this book?
I've heard of it. It's pretty old. I don't remember a lot about it.
I'm sure it probably had, you know, the necessary accent marks. But to me and my dumb friend Ronnie, we always looked at it and laughed and said, oh, this book is called Pepe Goes North, because we were dumb.
And
you didn't know
Spanish. You had no one in your life that spoke it.
No one. There was nobody around us, you know. And I'm pretty sure at one point even Ronnie even said, you know, it's actually Pepe Goes North, but pee-pee, you know. And we would laugh at it all the time. And I flashed on this memory a little while ago, and I didn't know why. And I started to think about, well, wait a minute. What the hell? Now that I, you know, I would never thought of this when I was a kid. But what the hell was Pepe, it's kids' book,
mm-hmm.
Pepe Goes North, what the hell was that about? And I went online, and I couldn't find any references to it. It's, like, gone from history. And I just, looking back now, like, it's so weird. Like, I want to know what this book's about. Trust me, you will not find it. I know you think you have excellent Googling capabilities with your old clackety-clack 1920s keyboard over mm-hmm. there. You will not find it. I looked. I tried everything I could find. Nothing. So, but I would love to. I would love to just like find this in a thrift store somewhere and thumb through it and know what the actual story. Because we never looked at it. You know, it was just we laughed at it and went on with our lives. We didn't look at books back then because we were dumb. But it was we would have thought it was a kid's book anyway. So, but I have a couple other things. You can keep clackety clacking over there for a little while. But trust me when I tell you, you're not going to find anything on this book. But I did want to talk about this because on the last show we mentioned about how we got our free. To us, well, free to everybody, really, Omaha Steaks and Steak Burgies.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, well, yesterday, actually, I actually cooked a couple of the steak burgers. And what did you think of them?
The steak burgers? Oh, my God, they were so good.
See, they are good. And I really like the seasoning that we got. What did you think of that seasoning?
It was good. I'm not allergic to it. It added a little something. It's different from anything I've ever had. It was good.
It gave it a nice, you know, it brought out a nice little flavor in the burgies. But the thing is that when I usually make burgers, I just get some ground beef and I kind of squish out the patties by hand. And these ones, you know, they were pre-made.
Yeah, and so they were so good.
They had good taste to them. The only complaint I guess I had with them is they're kind of thin. And like one of them, because they're wrapped in, they're vacuum sealed in plastic. And they got these individual plastic sealed things over them. So I let them thaw out and then I went to cut them out with my kitchen shears and one of them, as I was trying to get it out of the package, actually broke. That was the one you ate, by the way. And it by the time I got it in the pan and put some cheese on it, it pretty much, it like, reunited. So it wasn't a big deal.
It reunited.
So, that was the only complaint I had. I just thought, I was thinking, you know, because I don't know, I think there's supposed to be 4 ounce patties or something in my mind. You know, I'm thinking it's going to be this nice kind of thick thing. And it was kind of, and fortunately, I've had experience cooking those and failed in the sense that I overcooked them because you got to be real careful when the patties are thin like that. Because if you go, you know, a second over, they're going to come out like pucks.
Yeah.
And you usually want that. I think some people like that, but not me. And I don't think you. So
No.
So I knew to prepare for that, and they actually came out fine. But they were good, and I certainly can't complain about the price. But in a world where I can have these pre-made Omaha steak burgies or making my own, I'd rather just have my own. But again, not complaining. We got two more to eat, so there you go. We haven't had any of the steaks yet.
No, we'll report on that, so, you know, when we have them.
And if you have not yet found Pepe Goes North, you need to stop.
No.
I don't need your, I was trying don't need to your see clickety-clacking for the entire show.
You know, like who the author might be.
You won't find it.
No. It turned out the author I thought it might have been isn't, so, yeah.
I'll have to keep hunting around in thrift stores.
You're sure of the name, so.
Dead positive.
Yeah.
These are the kind of things. This is why I'll never have a good job, or I'll never have like marketable skills, because I remember all this, like my brain is mostly full of all this mindless minutia that I collected from the age of 3 till roughly, I don't know, probably the age of 21 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just all this stuff that's completely useless. I'll remember all that.
Yeah.
But
there were a lot of weird books, though. Like, there's a book, there's a children's book, I'm trying to remember what it was, and it was about a kid that lived in Japan, and it was set in, like, and I read this when I was little, and it was old when I was little, so, and it was set in a time frame of, like, not really ancient Japan, but it certainly wasn't modern, and it was about the little, I think they're called Daruma? right?
It wasn't like some weird, you know, thing that got left over from World War II and it was like a propaganda thing.
No, it wasn't like that. And it wasn't like a kid wandering through Tokyo looking for anime or anything. But, you know, but it was about this kid that had, I think they're called Daruma. They're little round figures and they have sort of a face on the front.
Pokeballs?
No. And one of their eyes is left unpainted. And you kind of give it, you sort of, the story was saying that, you know, you sort of, make a wish, kind of, and it's this particular little, I think it's called Daruma, was assigned that wish, and in order to earn its other eye, the wish had to come true. So if the wish came true, you would go and paint the eye, you know? And I can't remember the name of the story, and it was so good, I can't find it. So, yeah.
Well, a couple other things that I wanted to go over. We set up a voicemail line for the show. And we've been plugging it for the last month or so. And we got this voicemail number through a service called K7. And it's one of these free services where you can get a phone number and they'll give you a free voicemail and fax service. And K7 has been around forever. They were one of the first, if not the first company that podcasters were using, you know, back in like 2004. If you ever listen to a podcast and you hear them give out a voicemail number with a 206 area code, they're using K7. I can almost damn near guarantee. Well, K7 has an interesting clause as they are giving you a free service. And that is that if you don't use the service in 30 days, meaning you don't send or receive a fax or get an incoming call for voicemail, they essentially close your account and they put that phone number back in their available pool of numbers, and you can't just get it back. You can't just go on and go, oh, give me my old number back, because they're trying to dissuade people from just taking numbers and squatting on them and not really using them. Which is their every right to do, I guess. Well, I set up that voicemail line because, as we discovered early on in the show, people wanted to leave us voicemails because they were actually calling our old number.
Which makes sense. We never said it wasn't, you know.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But as has been stated, I have some other purposes for that number and I don't want to just make it into a voicemail line again. Maybe it will be someday, but right now, no. And I was looking around for different options. I wasn't really happy with anything. And I figured, what the hell? I'll try K7. Back in the early days of the show, we had a K7 number back then, too, before I got the Google's voice. And discovered that K7 was still around and you could still get a number. So I got to set it up. And I had made a mental note to myself that if nobody called within like 2 weeks, I should call it myself and just leave a simple message so that the number wouldn't die. And I forgot. Well, I thought about it the other day and I figured, oh, I should call. And I did. And my greeting that I had set up was gone. So I thought, oh boy, this can't be good. I left a message anyway because I knew that if the number was still active, it would email me, and it never did. I went to the website, I tried to log in, it told me no. So this tells me that the voicemail number we had has been essentially thrown back into the K7 pool of free phone numbers, and I have really no way to get it back. And what I've decided is, if we went 30 days and didn't get a voicemail, no one wants to leave us voicemail. So I'm not going to bother getting another number. And what I will say is this, if you really want to send us a voicemail, record an audio file and email us show@hypernonsense.com. You're going to need to keep it short because you can't send huge files via email, but, you know, and I think if you have an iPhone, you can actually do that through the Voice Memo app. And there are probably other apps, even if you're on the Androids or whatever platform you're on, somebody probably makes a simple record a voice note and email it app. And that's now your option.
You know, I mean, it'll work roughly the same as voicemail.
If
you know?
If it's that necessary, if people really desperately want us to have a voicemail number that bad, then you guys can figure it out. Somebody either get a Google Voice number, an active Google Voice number that you have that maybe you're not using, because I don't think you can get new ones anymore. Get it and transfer it to us, or...
Can they do that?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, you can transfer ownership of a Google Voice number. So get it, transfer it to us, or if everybody desperately wants us to have a voicemail line that badly, then pool some money together. There's plenty of paid services out there. Or, hey, you can register for a K7 number, and you can be the one to maintain it and make sure it stays active and, I guess, forward the messages to us. I don't know. We'll have to work that out. But my point is that I'm not going to put any more energy into this.
And calling the voicemail number we've been giving out won't work anymore. So that's kind of the big thing. Don't do that anymore. It's not going to get you anywhere.
I've removed the phone number from the website, but... It's still obviously in all of the shows. I'm not going to go back and edit that out. So anyway, it doesn't work. Don't call it anymore. And if you do call it and leave a message, I don't know where that's going.
Yeah, who knows? Mm-hmm.
So another thing I want to talk about is I did some testing this week with a video production app called Boinks TV. And I'm still getting the hang of it. It's a super powerful program, and I'm so glad I got it as part of a bundle earlier this year. It was one of these Mac Heist bundles or something. And it's insane how much stuff it does. And, you know, we did produce one short video with it, which is not online yet, so we're not going to talk about that yet. Next week we will.
Yeah, that's probably best.
Mm-hmm. And, but... I'm really impressed with it, and I think it's going to solve a lot of problems of things that I was trying to find solutions for as far as producing video goes. And the overall plan is that eventually we will actually produce this podcast with video and audio together. Now, the video will probably just be pushed to YouTube unless there's a huge demand to have it other places. But the video, you know, the audio will stay the same. That will never change.
Yeah, we're not going to not because do just an audio. There always will be an audio version of this.
Doing a show like this, the audio side is always going to be the big, and that's going to be where the big audience is, and we know that, and that's not going to change. But it's something I've wanted to do for a long time, and having made some progress with using Boinks, which is a weird name for a thing, but
it's a strange thing, but it seems to be working.
But
so it might work. And I'm starting to, I don't like being on video, right, but I'm getting a bit more resigned to it, I guess. I've needed to for a couple of things lately. So yeah,
the thing that I'm really grappling with right now is this room is just not set up, in my opinion, well for the kind of video that I would like to produce. So now
you want to do a studio move? Another studio move?
I'm starting to kind of reconfigure in my mind how to do it. And the problem is I haven't entirely figured it out yet. But
that's coming.
Yeah, that's coming.
That's probably going to happen now. Yeah.
It may not be completely necessary to do that, but I'm also thinking about, well, maybe we could also move those Audimute blankets out of the closet, and there might be a way to incorporate that in all of our audio production as opposed to having it just be this really specialized thing. And that wouldn't be bad either. And I'm thinking about, I've seen people create these sort of, for lack of a better term, soundproof cages with like PVC pipe and stuff, where it's not, you know, you're not making structural changes to your environment, but you can still hang things. And then we would also have the ability to use them maybe more like curtains, in the sense that they could be moved around more easily. But I don't know any of this yet, so You keep coughing over there. You're going to live?
Yeah. I said I'm sick today.
God, with the chronic sicknesses.
It ain't going to change, sadly.
All right. Well, we have a little bit of feedback to go over, so.
We do. Okay. So we have a comment from Van Sunder who says, when we went to the Luxor back in the day, they had a simulated tomb that you could check out. That was interesting. We also were tempted to go to the aquarium, but once we got all the way there, it didn't feel worth it. Now that we live near the Monterey Bay Aquarium, I doubt we would even think about heading that way. Tally and I are also not real gamblers, so the Vegas thing, with the exception of King Arthur's tournament, was mostly a bust for us. We're just not Vegas people. So that's from Van Sunder. And in regards to one of our Vegas shows.
Yeah, let's respond to that one. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember a tomb.
No, I didn't see a tomb.
And I'm thinking that there must be things inside the Luxor that they change out over time. Because Nathan talked about, well, the museum, and maybe Nathan and Van Sunder are actually talking about the same thing in different terms. I don't know. But I know there wasn't any tomb activity happening when we were there. And short of that little walkway area where I went and sat to check stuff on my iPad, there wasn't, from what I recall, much of a museum in there either. So, again,
I'm of the impression that the casinos probably switch things out from time to time to give you a reason to go back. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So read the next thing.
Okay, so we have another one from Van Sunder. He says, we also received that bogus letter from Sacramento trying to sell you some certificate of status or whatever shortly after we started our corporation for our physical therapy clinic in February. So since that scam business is in the same city as the state government and they've been operating there for at least a few months, I don't feel like the government is really on top of that issue. They could always send someone over to shut them down. I didn't think about that. If they're in the same town, it didn't dawn on me that they are located in the same town. Like, could they go knock on the door and say, hey guys, knock it off?
Well, for one thing, this scam business could be operating a mailbox without an office, or they could be they could be using, there's so many services out there that'll give you a street address without actually having you rent an office. So that's always a possibility. But the other thing is, that's just one of those things where that's way too nimble for the government to get anything done. You know, there's going to have to be tons and tons of evidence, and then they're going to need to secure. I mean, it's not necessarily bad that the government works that way, but it would be wonderful if, you know, Kamala Harris could just walk over there. Knock on the door and go, look, we know what y'all are doing, and this isn't right, so
and
come
here's
on
your
over
summons
here.
For court.
You're all arrested.
And
or
here's
whatever.
Your fine. And yeah. there's a policeman over there that would like to speak with you. You know, that'd be really nice. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know why the government does things the way it does. But I suspect, okay, just maybe, if for some reason they thought this was a big, huge deal that they absolutely had to work on right now, maybe they're like building a case, you know?
Yeah.
So it would take a little time before they go knocking on the door. Because if they knock on the door before they do all that, that company's probably just going to get another address and move slightly over and, you know, different name and have to start over. So they don't want to tip them off in time. But it does just seem like, you know, you're right there. Go do something.
Well, you know? Speaking of that, I'm not helping matters any because I still have the letter sitting on my desk, which I said I was going to send this letter I have. I was going to send that to the Attorney General, and I haven't even done
that.
Well, I'll
do it.
You know. Maybe they're waiting on one more piece of evidence.
Maybe they need a certain amount of, well, you know, 500 people got this, or 50 people got this, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, send it, see what happens, I guess. Right?
Yeah. So one more to read.
We do. We have one from Nathan who says, next time I go to Vegas, I want to go to the Pinball Museum. There's a Pinball Museum?
Yeah, I was surprised by that as well. And I think maybe because I had left a comment on the website in response to Van Sunder's comment that we read, and I said that, you know, if I ever go to Vegas again, I actually want to go to the Mob Museum. So I think maybe Nathan was responding to that. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's possible.
But,
yeah. I didn't
yeah,
know
I'd
there was
a
pinball museum. I'd go check that out. Yeah.
I go to a pinball museum.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, you know, randomly recovered errant memories.
Oh boy.
You know, I was never a big pinball player because by the time that I was old enough to care about coin operated games, video games were here.
So
I wanted video games. I was in love with video games from pretty much day one. So sometimes I would go to an arcade with my dad and he would play pinball and I would play the video games. And I remember, you know, because you experience, you know, all these different sensory things or whatever. And there was this pinball machine and I don't remember what it was called. And over time, like everything else, pinball machines, you know, they got themed and licensed and they had all these different things. And there was this one and it had actual, you know, voice recordings in it and different things that you would do while the pinball game was playing would trigger these different sounds and these different recordings that it had in it. And I think the gist of the game was that, you know, you were playing through this world where, storms were taking over and different things you would do in the pinball game would set off, you know, these different events. And I remember this video game would go, "The storm is coming. Return to your home." "The storm is coming." And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool, but it's also kind of weird. I never forgot that. And I don't know what the hell the name of that pinball game was.
I don't remember that one. But I
hope
they
have it at the pinball museum.
Maybe they do. There used to be other pinball machines like that, like after, you know, the video games started picking up and they were in the arcades a lot. Some of the pinball company makers, I guess, they would put together like a themed pinball that was like maybe Star Wars or something like that, and it would include little audio clips, you know?
Right.
But I don't think it was ever, I don't think they actually tried to make it like a quest or a storyline. I think they just kind of went, oh, people like that one, and it's got all these audio clips that pop up. Well, let's do that, you know? There was that for a while.
Pinball machines historically have sort of gone through this thing where they at times have incorporated a lot of slot machine-esque technology as far as having all kind of bells and whistles and graphics and this and that and other things and videos, things and stuff like that. And then, you know, sounds and sound clips and, you know, I remember looking at some pinball machines and thinking, yeah, those are really cool, or at least they're fun to watch someone play them that's really good at them, but it was never my thing. That being stated, I would go to the pinball museum.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it does sound interesting.
So thank you, everyone, for your comments. We love to get feedback. Of course, you can leave a comment on any episode at the website, hypernonsense.com, and you can email us, show@hypernonsense.com. And if you tweet at us at Hypernonsense on Twitter, we'll be sure to round all those up and read them on the show. And of course, we'd love to have some more iTunes reviews, hypernonsense.com/iTunes. I use the service called ReviewCast to round them up before every show, and it mocks me every week.
Aww.
Because it goes. And really, at this point, you know, like this week, it said you've only, and this is what it actually says. It says, "You have only had 3 reviews," and it shows you automatically the last 25, and we've already read the 3 reviews we've had, so we haven't even had any new ones. I mean, it'd be one thing if it said, "You've only had 4 reviews," knowing that one of those was new, but it's like double mocking us now. It's telling us, oh, you've only had 3 reviews, and hey, look, you haven't even had any new ones. You must suck.
Okay. Well, we got 3. There we are. Some shows don't get any, I would think.
And one of them is me.
Well, that's okay. That's legal. You can do that.
Just remember that.
You can do that. That's legal. Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we got time for one more thing. And Jen's got a thing. And I got a thing. And actually, you know what? I don't have a thing because apparently I whacked my browser. So we're going to do Jen's.
Okay. So last time I brought an interesting little piece from Bubble WS.
And right? I'm still waiting on my Make Me Got the Famous t-shirt designs.
Make Me Got the Famous. That was the one last time, right? Make Me Got the Famous. Bubble is a little website anybody at all can join and start writing, and you get paid by the page click, that kind of thing. And some of the writing there is really good. I found some writers that are really good. But there's also some that are just kind of like not as good. And there's many who I think are struggling with English as a second language. There's a few that I think believe, you know, that they're actually on Tumblr and they're writing about their breakfast, you know what I mean? But you get a variety pack. And every so often I find one like Make Me Got the Famous that just kind of goes, okay, you need to hear this. You know?
Yeah.
So this one is titled, Interestingly, the Android Operating System.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this about voicemail apps, perchance?
That was the title. So I kind of went, all right, I'm going to read that one, right? The first line says, Interestingly, the Android operating system. And that's it. And then there's another space. And then there's,
that was it.
So the title again, and the title is kind of awkward, you know? Interestingly, the Android operating system. So, yeah. So this is what it goes on to say. I think many people use smartphones running on the Android operating system knows the tricks undervolt to save battery.
Undervolt?
That's what it says.
That sounds...
And that's one word.
That sounds like some superhero sidekick.
Undervolt saves your battery in a heartbeat. Dun, dun, dun. Anyway.
Electric Man and Undervolt. Wait. Electric Man and Undervolt. The exciting adventures of... Anyway.
Interestingly, the adventures. Okay.
So the interesting adventures, wait. The interesting adventures of Electric Man and Undervolt in the Android Saga.
You know, that could turn into something fun. All right, so move on with this one. The next line reads, or the next sentence reads, While some Android phones are equipped with a removable battery so that users can easily replace and upgrade the device, not only comes at the battery immediately.
Comes at the
battery. Not only comes at the battery immediately.
Okay, I'm not even going to touch that one. Not even going there. I don't know what... Look, I don't know what people do with their Android phones. I know that it's a lot more open than iOS, and there's probably all kind of apps you can get that Apple would never allow.
Yeah, well,
but
you know.
Whatever, you know.
Not only comes at the battery immediately.
Whatever you do with your droids in the privacy of your own thing, please, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, so this continues with a sentence that says, Undervolt tips to help you prolong use, period. Right?
Okay.
That's a sentence. This procedure is exclusively for the Android operating system.
Okay.
In case you didn't catch that from the title, right. You've said Android twice already in this little article, but you know, this procedure is exclusively for the Android operating system.
Uninterestingly, the Apple I operating system not gonna undervolt.
I guess, you know. No undervolt for you. Okay, so the rest of it goes like this. With the Android phone has been root, with the help of some software, to impact on the frequency and amount of CPU power consumption, period. Not a sentence, but okay. Then it says, it will help you to save a sum of the energy needed for you to use for other purposes, and ends with, wish you have a happy day. So we have, interestingly, immediately, exclusively.
Yeah, so you can come at your Undervolt with your root software, bro.
Yeah.
And make your Android, interestingly, phone more...
With prolonged use.
With prolonged use.
With a sum of... to save a sum of the energy needed for prolonged use, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just things like this you find sometimes, and you're like, okay, now we're talking about, you know, superheroes out of this one.
All right, well...
Yeah, but isn't there one, like, okay, interestingly, the Android operating system. Isn't there a Neil Gaiman book, something like Suddenly the Milk or something, that starts like that?
Yeah, it does.
Or I don't think that's the right title.
It does almost, you know, I don't know.
Let me find that really quick, because that's going to bug me if I don't.
It almost sounds like something that is near meme-worthy. you know, interestingly.
Oh, it's Fortunately the Milk. That's the title. It's a children's book that he's written. So Fortunately the Milk, interestingly the Android operating system, I guess.
All right, we got to do a quick check on something real quick.
Sure.
All right, I am going to mute you, and then I want you to hit that 1920s clackety-clack.
Okay.
Go now. See, I think if I actually mute Jen's microphone, we have enough gating that you can't, you listening to this right now can't hear it. So I will try a little more harder to better to come at the battery. No. I will try to mute Jen. See, what we need to get is, I've actually seen these things. You can get these inline microphone muters, and they have them so they have one that's like a pedal. So every time you
hit it, every time I need to look up something.
Yeah, every time you were gonna go to Captain Clackety Clacks over there.
Yeah,
you could just step on the pedal until you were done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, I think that can do it for this program.
I want someone to create either a short story or a drawing with the superheroes that we came up with. What was it? Undervolt and what was the other one?
Electric Man and Undervolt.
Yeah.
The Android Saga with special guest Captain Clackety Clacks.
There you go. Now you get to decide if Captain Clackety Clacks is a superhero or a villain.
Yeah, they gotta,
or if they're exactly. rescuing him as though he's the princess, you know.
Okay. Well, anything else you wanted to share on this fine program?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. We are Hypernonsense, and you can find us online at hypernonsense.com. And I gotta say, this is the longest we've been recording for just about an hour and a half. This is probably the longest that I've ever allowed a Starbucks Buck beverage to last.
Yeah, because you were talking instead of drinking it.
I know. So I guess that the lesson to be learned is that every time I want a Starbucks, I should do a podcast.
Okay.
Can we make that a new rule?
Sure.
Okay, well,
just time it right so the store's open.
Well, if we move to Vegas, the store's always open.
This is true.
You can find us online at hypernonsense.com. We'd love for you to leave us some feedback there. And you can check out all of these subscription options. In fact, I'm going to put this out there now so it'll tell me to actually do it. And if you go to hypernonsense.com/subscribe, that will take you to a page that will have all of the subscription options that are currently available. But we are on iTunes and Stitcher, TuneIn and Spreaker, and of course we have an RSS feed. If you're so podcatcherly inclined, you can just subscribe directly. That is fine as well. We really don't care how or where you listen to the show, just that you listen. That's the important thing. And if there's a platform that we're not on and you would like us to be, just let us know and we'll do our best to get on in it. Now, you can also follow us on Twitter at HyperNonsense. And for now, I think that's everything. So thank you so much for listening. And if all goes well, we'll be back with you next week.
Interestingly, the podcast is over. Bye, people.
Well, then why would you even waste your time with it? It must be Dota or MOBA.
Yeah, sure.
Multiple online base acquisition.
Or something, yeah. I honestly have no idea right now. But
why
yeah,
are these
I can
so
I can go play that later, you know. I can go play some Heroes if I want.
Heroes of Waverly Place?
No, Heroes of the Storm, which I'm going to always hear, like, the Doors song. Heroes of the Storm. You know?
You can be Tyrael. Or you can be Diablo.